الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد all praise is due to Allah and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path. Continuing with the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di رحمه الله تعالى. For those who don't know, this is Shaykh bin Uthaymeen's Shaykh, a very prominent scholar. They call him Allama, which is for exaggerating ilm, not only a alim, scholar, big time alim, and he was indeed rahimahullah ta'ala. We are currently in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 177. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. بارك الله فيك. Interpretation of the meaning in English.
It is not unbeer by the righteous and peace and every heart of religious to Allah, that you turn on your faces toward death and you are rest in fear. But unbeer is the quality of the one and his Allah. The last day, the angel, the book, the prophets, and gives his will inspired love for him, to the faithful, to the orphans, and to the masakeen, and to the wayfarer, and to those who ask, and to set the sleep free, perform the zakat, and give the zakat, and who fulfill their covenant with the naked, and who are patient in extreme poverty and unmet disease, and at the time of fighting during the battles.
جزاك الله خيرا. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله يقول تعالى ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب, أي ليس هذا هو البر المقصود من العباد, فيكون كثرة البحث فيه والجدال من العناء الذي ليس تحته إلا الشقاق والخلاف. The Shaykh said, meaning this is not the what is intended by righteousness and piety from the servants, that which necessitates extreme searching and looking around for exactly the Qibla being precisely at this very, you know, it wasn't that complicated back at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously they did not have all the machinery or the compass that you get today. It was whichever direction they knew the Kaaba was, they would just turn in that particular direction. Sheikh says, so it's not the intent is to be particular about the direction, that which will bring about difference. People will differ, it's this, you know, this angle or that angle and so on and so forth. وهذا نظير قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. The Shaykh said this is similar to a statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who said the one who is tough, the strong man, is not the one who will wrestle you and knock you down. Rather it is the one who is able to control himself at the time of anger. That's the real tough man. When you're able to punch someone and knock him out, but you don't do so, that takes some manhood. Otherwise, the most foolish of men wrestle, and you see them in their, you know, shows, wrestling games and wrestling matches. Anyone can get involved and punch someone. But it takes a man, huh, to be able to control himself. That's a real tough man who's able to control himself when he's able to react aggressively. So this is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. ونحو ذلك, and similar narration, the Shaykh said. ولكن البر من آمن بالله أي بأنه إله واحد موصوف بكل صفة كمال منزه عن كل نقص. Nay, but righteousness is to believe in Allah, that He is one who's unique with the qualities, with all the perfect attributes, and free from every deficiency, has the most perfect of attributes, and is free from every kind of deficiency. وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, and believes in the last day. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, وَهُوَ كُلُّ مَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ أَوْ أَخْبَرَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ صلى الله عليه وسلم مِمَّا يَكُونُ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Believing in the last day includes everything that Allah had mentioned in the Quran and everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us about from the very moment after death. Meaning it's not only the day of resurrection. Included in the last day is the grave and the punishment of the grave, or the bounties of the grave, what depending on the person's righteousness or otherwise. Everything involved in terms of the questions by Munkar and Nakir, and so on and so forth, until the day of judgment. All this is involved in Al-Yawm Al-Akhir, from the moment you die, because it's all part of the unseen. And they say, your Qiyamah, the ulama say, your Qiyamah is when you die. Khalas, because there's no time to change anything. Now, Wal-Malaika, الذين وصفهم الله لنا في كتابه ووصفهم رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And to believe in the angels which were described by Allah and they were described by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who can give us some of the descriptions? Some of the descriptions of the angels in the Quran.
Like angel Jibril alayhi salam, the first time
in the Quran.
In
the Quran or in the Hadith? In the Quran.
They have wings, one, three.
مثنى وثلاثة ورباع. أولي أجنحة. Possessors of wings. Just like the, so this is like, remember the ayah of more than one wife, the ayah of polygyny? It's the same thing. And be careful, polygamy is different than polygyny. Polygamy is a man having more than one wife, or a woman having more than one man. Islam doesn't allow that. Polygyny, spelled differently, G, Y, and Y, is a man having more than one wife, which Islam allows. So don't think polygyny is the actual correct word. The ayah, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. The same thing was mentioned about the angels. أُولِي أَجْنِحَ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. In twos, and threes, and fours. So the angels have wings, alhamdulillah. Anything else? Kiraman Katibin. They write good. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey Allah in any command He gives them, and they do everything that they are commanded. Right? And the list goes on. In the hadith, Rasulullah when he saw Jibreel, he said he covered the horizon. He had 600 wings, covered the horizon. He was terrified, alayhi salam. He had to run home to his wife Khadija, say, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me. Because it was just overwhelming seeing Jibreel. He saw Jibreel twice in his real form as an angel. Otherwise he would come to him in the form of a man at times, right? The hadith of, famous hadith of Jibreel, the hadith of Islam, Arkan al-Islam, Arkan al-Iman al-Ihsan, he came to them as a man in all respects, black, dark hair, clothes that were white, extremely white, didn't look like he traveled. You all know the hadith. Tab Jameel. Wal-Kitab. أي جنس الكتب التي أنزلها الله على رسوله وأعظمها القرآن فيؤمن بما تضمنه من الأخبار والأحكام. كتاب really means book, but in particular the Shaykh said, meaning the type or the books which were sent down by Allah to His messengers, and the greatest of which is which? The Quran. Muhaymin, it's dominant over the rest of the books. It abrogated the Gospel of Jesus, it abrogated the Torah of Moses, it abrogated the Psalms of David if they were to be available. The Quran is the ultimate reference for the children of Adam. And you should believe whatever it contains of information and rulings. Rulings as well. When Nabiyeen, Nabiyeen is plural for? For what word? In Arabic, Nabi. No. Major mistake. Nabiyin is prophets. Mursaleen, messenger. Now, in the Arabic language, which you probably learned, maybe with Dr. Yahya, becoming Dr. Yahya, that there's a difference between the marfu' and the mansub and the majroor. So that's why it will be nabiyun at times and nabiyin at times. It's the same exact word, but because of the grammatical location of the word in the sentence, it may wind up with a waw or a ya. It doesn't change the meaning. It doesn't change the meaning of the word. It does affect the sentence structure. But nabiyin is like nabiyun, and that's the plural of
nabiyun.
Okay, this is called jam' muzakkar salim. Does it have jam' takseer?
Yes.
Anbiya. When the root word changes, we call it jam' takseer, plural broken, plural, because the word is no longer the same. Nabi, anbiya, you added an alif and another alif and a hamza. Whereas the jam' muzakkar salim or jam' muannath salim, the same word, but you add either a waw noon or a ya noon. Nabi, nabiyun, nabiyin. For the jam' muannath salim, with the alif ta, ustada or mudarrisa, mudarrisat. Mutakallima, mutakallimat, you add alif ta. Anyways, I don't know why I went there. But I know that many of you are striving to learn Arabic, so maybe this will be maybe it will incite you to learn more. Because once you know these things, things become more interesting. Things become more interesting naturally. طيب. والنبيين عموما خصوصا قاتمهم وأفضلهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Believing in the Prophet in general, and in specific, believing in the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the seal of the Prophet. وآتى المال وهو كلما يتمول الإنسان من مال قليلا كان أو كثيرا. And you آتى المال, you give money, you give, how did they translate it?
Wealth.
They give wealth. الحمد لله. طيب, the Sheikh said that encompasses everything, whether it is abundant or a little, whatever you wind up giving is included in that. أي أعطى المال على حبه, أي حب المال. يعني you give the money while you love the money. You're happy to have 5 riyals in your pocket, because you can easily buy some juice and some chocolate. Now you're hungry, of course, you can think of better things than that. But for you to take out this money, which you worked hard for, you had to go to work, wake up in the morning, maybe sweat at work, all this trouble, for you to make the salary, for you to come and spend this money on someone, and that must mean that you're a believer. That's why it's called sadaqah. Sadaqah from the word sidq, truthfulness, because it's a proof that you believe. Rasulullah said, وَالصَّدَقَةُ burhan. It is proof that you believe. تَصْدِيق لِلْإِيمَانِ. It is affirming your belief. Otherwise, you can't give money. You will not be able to give not even a riyal, because our human nature, I earn this money. This is my money. Why would I give it to some stranger? It's none of their business. They need money, go work. I work by make my own money, you work, you make your own money. For you to pay money, that means you love it. I حب المال, why you love it. بين أن به أن المال محبوب للنفوس فلا يكاد يخرجه العبد. The Sheikh said this indicates that wealth is loved by people, that the human beings hardly ever pay it off. فمن أخرجه مع حبه له تقربا إلى الله تعالى كان هذا برهان الإيمان. As we mentioned, whoever then produces that money and pays it off while he loves his money, this is indicative that he indeed loves Allah, and this is for affirmation of his iman. ومن إيتاء المال على حبه أن يتصدق وهو صحيح شحيح يأمل الغنى ويخشى الفقر. And one of the classical examples of one giving money or wealth do while loving the money is one who's actually in good condition, not good condition, he's sahih, meaning he's able to earn money, still he hopes to become rich and he's afraid of poverty, meaning he's not well off. Someone who's not financially well off, يعني his money is limited, still he's spending money. And you know, Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ. No wealth has ever been decreased or reduced due to sadaqah. It will never go down. Rather, Allah will give you maybe more in the dunya and inevitably in the hereafter. طيب. وكذلك إذا كانت الصدقة عن قلة كان أفضل، لأنه في هذه الحال يحب إمساكه لما يتوهمه من العدم من العدم والفقر. The Jew said, and also in even a lesser state than that one, still giving this money is great and is a sign of iman, because the person is afraid now that he will become poor. This is all the money I have. If I give it off, then I will remain with nothing. وكذلك إخراج النفيس من المال وما يحبه من ماله، كما قال تعالى لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. Similarly, spending the most valuable of your wealth. Because sometimes you have 10 t-shirts, right? And the least favorite one that you don't care for anyways, this is the one that you will give as a gift. Say, brother, barakallahu feek, this shirt is from me to you, I love you very much and everything. Even though in the depth of your heart, this shirt, you wear it once a year. But your favorite shirt, or your favorite shoes, or your favorite whatever, giving that away, that's tough. And Allah says, you shall not attain piety until you spend from that which you love. And you know the hadith of, I cannot recall his name, subhanAllah. I've been thinking about his name while I'm speaking. The one who, when this ayah was revealed, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was it Abu Salama? And then anyways, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most valuable of my wealth is this garden of palm trees. What was his name? La ilaha illallah. Anyways, he gave the most valuable thing to him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when this ayah was revealed, he wanted to do something to implement the ayah in his life. Allah said, you should not attain piety until you spend from the best of what you have, the things that are most beloved to you. He had to go and carry it out. Abu Dhar? No. It was closer to what he said, but I cannot recall the name. Yalla, alhamdulillah, ala kulli haq. ثم ذكر المنفق عليه وهم أولى الناس ببرك وإحسانك من الأقارب. Then Allah mentioned those whom you are spending on, those who are being spent on. And these are the most qualified, and they have the most right of your righteousness and your goodness towards. And the top ones on the list are your relatives, your close relatives. And zakah, well, sabaqah is different. Sabaqah is applicable to anyone at any time. Whereas zakah, it is you cannot give zakah to those who you are obliged to spend on. Your mom, your mother, it's your obligation to spend on her. No zakah for mama. It's an obligation to give her from your wealth. Whereas your cousin, someone who is not, it's not obligatory on you to spend on them, if you have zakat to pay off, before you look for the strangers in the street, your family have more of a right. And the Prophet ﷺ said that brings you two benefits: keeping the kinship ties and paying off the zakat.
How about if they're kafir,
then if they're kuffar, khali wali. You give it to the Muslims. You give it to the Muslims. Now, giving a zakat to the kuffar cannot be done unless they are under al-mu'allafati qulubuhum. Those who you hope will embrace Islam. Those who you think you could bring them near to Islam. Because Allah mentioned those among the eight in the Quran. Other than that, no. Then you give the fuqara al-masakeen as Allah had enumerated them in the surah. طيب, in the ayah. الذين تتوجع لمصابهم وتفرح بسرورهم الذين يتناصرون ويتعاقلون. So your relatives, the ones that you feel pain and agony when they are in trouble, and you are happy when they are joyful, and those that you help one another and you aid one another. Family members, how family members are. You're just close to each other. You always want goodness for one another. فمن أحسن البر وأوفقه تعاهد الأقارب بالإحسان المالي والقولي على حسب قربهم وحاجتهم. So the best kind of bir is to is the one that deals with the relatives, goodness towards the relatives, both financially and verbally.
If we intend to give a sadaqah or close relatives, even they are kafir, it will help also sadaqah.
No, unless you're trying to bring them to Islam. Otherwise, they're not among those whom Allah mentioned in the ayah, because Allah specified. Hey, طيب. ومن اليتامى. Who are the يتامى? What's the yatim in English? Oh. Shaitan? Yatim, ya Shaykh. See what happens when you leave in the middle of the desk? You come back with shayateen wal'iyadu billah. Shayateen, ya Shaykh. Yatama, yatim, orphan. And yatama is the plural of yatim, orphans. الذين لا كاسب لهم وليس لهم قوة يستغنون بها. Those who don't have anyone to earn money for them. And that's why in Islam, if your mother is alive and your father is dead and you are under the age of puberty, you are a yatim. Pay attention. It's not as the non-Muslims believe both of your parents have to be dead. The death of the father, which is the one who usually generates income for the family, he is the one to be considered in the yatim or otherwise. Mother's there, you're still a yatim. Okay? Father's there and the mother is dead, you're not a yatim. So the ones who don't have anyone to earn money for, and they don't have any strength, they don't have any means to survive unless someone takes care of them. وهذا من رحمته تعالى بالعباد الدالة على أنه تعالى أرحم بهم من الوالد بولده. The Shaykh said this is indicative of Allah's mercy to His creation. That proves that He is more merciful to them than the father is to his child, or the parent to his child. فالله قد أوصى العباد وفرض عليهم في أموالهم الإحسان إلى من فقد آباؤهم ليصيروا كمن لم يفقد والديه. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded the believers, His servants, to spend from their wealth upon the orphans, those who have lost their fathers. So they will become like one who did not lose his parents. ولأن الجزاء من جنس العمل فمن رحم يتيم غيره رحم يتيمه. And the way you treat, you will be treated. Reward is according to your deeds. If you show mercy to someone else's orphan, then someone will show mercy to your orphan. May Allah, you know, protect you all for your family, for your children. والمساكين وهم الذين أسكنتهم الحاجة وأذلهم الفقر فلهم حق على الأغنياء بما يدفع مسكنتهم أو يخففها بما يقدرون عليه وبما يتيسر. المساكين سكن, you know, سكن to residence, it's a place where you reside, and he's called a مسكين لأن الحاجة أسكنته. His need had made him reside in a sense he's unable to go out and bring his own means of survival. He's always like imprisoned in a cell. It's like a second for him. So he's not free to do what the regular person would do. And they have been humiliated by poverty. They have a right upon the rich people that they spend on them enough to remove their poverty and whatever is available and feasible for the rich people. وابن السبيل وهو الغريب المنقطع به في غير بلده. ابن السبيل is a traveler who's cut off from his land. One who is what they call destitute, I believe the word, or something along these lines. How do they translate it? Wayfarer. Well, wayfarer is a traveler. Wayfarer and traveler are synonyms. طيب. Wayfarer is someone who's traveling. Traveling is wayfaring, and so on and so forth. Those others, maybe there's no wayfaring. A wayfarer is a traveler, and a traveler is a wayfarer. And so the English, you know, people can correct if there's any mistake here. Okay. But anyways, this is one Ibn Sabil, one who's in the state of travel, and for whatever reason does not have means to return back home. That's the definition, Ibn Sabil. نعم. فحث الله عباده على إعطائه من المال ما يعينه على سفره لكونه مظنة الحاجة وكثرة المصارف. So Allah had incited the slaves to give him enough wealth that will aid him and assist him in his travel, because it is possible that he is in a state of need and he will need to spend money to get to places. You need to pay for transportation and so on and so forth. فعلى من أنعم الله
عليه بوطنه وراحته وخوله من نعمته أن يرحم أخاه الغريب الذي بهذه الصفة على حسب استطاعته ولو بتزويده أو إعطائه آلة لسفره أو دفع ما ينوبه من المظالم وغيرها. So the one whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon by giving you residence to reside in and by giving you comfort and has given you from His bounties that which you have, you should show mercy to your brother who is in a state of distress and he is away from his home and he is unable to return, even if it is by simply giving him, by aiding him or by giving him means of transportation. Giving him means of transportation. Maybe you can give him your car. It doesn't have to be given it permanently. But let him use it to go back home. Then you may travel to him and return back with your car. Whatever will get the job done. Or in this case, you pay for limousine. Okay, you say, khalas, it's on me. Where are you going? I got it. And you make sure that the brother goes back home. Or you pay whatever things that may arise or may happen to him, be oppressed with something along these lines. Then you help him out. والسائلين أي الذين تعرض لهم حاجة من الحوائج توجب السؤال. سائلين from the word سؤال, ask. سائلين is plural, like we said سؤال, سائلين, نبي, نبيين, those who ask. The Shaykh said it is those who are suddenly afflicted with something that necessitates them to ask. They were all right. Then something happened where they became in the state of inability to survive or to earn a living. So then they suddenly need to ask, even though before they may not have been in that particular condition. كَمَنْ اِبْتُلِيَ بِأَرْشِ جِنَايَا أَوْ ضَرِيبَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ وَلَاةِ الْأُمُورِ أَوْ يَسْأَلُ النَّاسِ تَعْمِيرِ الْمَصَالِحِ الْعَامَةِ كَالْمَسَاجِدِ وَالْمَدَارِسِ وَالْقَنَاطِرِ وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ. Such as the one who has had some taxes imposed on him by the government, where he is no longer having any wealth. And similarly, what you see today in the masajid, and the problem is that what you see in the masajid is very difficult to pinpoint whether this person is legitimate beggar or a professional con artist. You know, some of the people, we've heard that they've seen them in their other affairs, wealthy people, they've been begging for so long, going to the masjid, putting on a show, okay, putting on a show, and you know, crying, and so on and so forth. Now, be careful, this is very sensitive, because people are in one of two extremes, huh? Either people who believe them all the way, huh? And they disregard signs which may indicate that they are liars. You see some of them, they don't even know how to act. And the way he tries to walk, you know, back to the door, you can tell that the brother's alright, there's nothing wrong with him. And they are those who are seriously in need. Be careful of belittling him, huh? And you know, having some attitude that is not befitting or not becoming of a Muslim. So what you say in the Sunnah, what is the Sunnah? What is the Sunnah when you see someone who is afflicted? What do you say? What is the dua? Alhamdulillah, alladhi aafani mimma abtalaka bih. وفضلني على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا. You should memorize this dhikr. All praises due to Allah who had saved me from that which He afflicted you with, and He had favored me over much of His creation with many things. So when you see someone begging, the first thing you do, say not to him in his face, to you, Alhamdulillah. Prophet ﷺ said, if you do that, Allah will never put you in his position. Allah will never put you in his position. But if you belittle him, Allah may decree that one day you'll be standing like he's standing. And you would really need money. And the people will think you're lying. And no one will give you anything. So be careful. This is all affairs of the heart. And you know, you see the way people look at the man, you can tell that they're upset with him to some extent. We just make the dua because Allah knows whether he is legit or otherwise. But anyways, this is a form of the sa'ilin. Something happened, hospital bill, 50,000 riyals, they cannot pay it. They have to ask for money. They know insurance and they don't have the right to have insurance because insurance is haram. But yani, now I'm just saying, no one to help them from their family members, they need to ask the Muslims. Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. He's your brother. So we should help them if we believe that they're legit. But Allah al-Musta'an, nowadays you really don't know who's what. Hasanan. The other example
is like the one who asks people to construct masajid or schools or anything that is beneficial for this community. You may get some people who come and do what they call fundraisers, right? You know the fundraisers, they bring us, you know, they bring you some food and then they ask you to donate money. That's all right. These are ta'een. If they're doing something legit, something beneficial for the Muslims. Not so they can build this theater, a movie theater, and so you go and give sadaqah. So next thing you know, you have, you know, movies being being played in, you know, in the society. These people, you don't help them in any way, shape, or form. Rather, you warn people against them, and you try to ruin their show. So they will not have any successful fundraisers. طيب فهذا له حق وإن كان غنيا. These people have a right, even if they're rich. The one asking for money to build the masjid, he may have 20,000 riyals, but he needs 500,000 riyals to build the masjid. He has the right to ask, he has the right to be given. وفي الرقاب فيدخل فيه العفق والإعانة عليه وبذل مال للمكاتب ليوفي سيده ليوفي سيده وفداء الأسراء أو الأسراء لا دقيقة الأسراء الحمد لله عند الكفار أو عند الظلمة رقاب included in that is freeing slaves. And you know that alaykum salam, slavery was something that existed prior to Islam, and Islam came to encourage the Muslims to abandon it. Okay? It was something that was fundamental in the economy back then. So it wasn't something that could just suddenly leave it. Because the whole societies were built upon slavery. But slavery was oppression to the slave. In Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you has a slave, then he should not burden him beyond his scope. If he eats from something, he should feed him from the same thing. If he dresses from something, then he dresses from the same thing. If you buy a nice dough, then you have to get one for your slave. No one does that. No nation that imposed and practiced slavery ever cared about the slave. The slave was like an animal in their sight. And this is known historically, even in what the civilized countries like the United States, supposedly, slavery remains until today in the hearts of the people. Even though they try to eliminate it in the society, and the people, in their understanding, in the depth of their mind, the white person still believes he is superior to the black. This is known. The white person is better. Now, not all white people, I'm just saying that this illness is there. And you have black people that are racist against white people. You know, they consider the white people to be devils. And so you have this thing, these things still exist, by the way, predominantly all over the world. Alhamdulillah, Islam did away with all that. Okay? لا فضل لأبيض على أسود ولا عربي على عجمي إلا بالتقوى. There's no virtue for a white over a black or an Arab over a non-Arab except with taqwa. You fear Allah, you're better in the sight of Allah. As for the rest of the things, it is irrelevant in the deed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب.
Sheikh, one more thing. What is the other word use
of riqab? Other use of riqab. Yeah, raqaba, neck. Neck. And iq is saving, freeing. So freeing someone's neck, because slavery is like you almost grabbed by your neck. You don't, you know, you belong to someone. So the Shaykh said, included in that is al-riqab, na'am, عتق والإعانة, and spending. If you own a slave, you let him go, or you help, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he freed many of the slaves, like Bilal radiallahu anhu. They used to say, Bilal, Sayyiduna, أعتقه Sayyiduna Abu Bakr. Bilal is our master, and he was freed by our other master, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. They considered both of them to be masters in their sight, even though there was a variation in the skin color. And also sometimes a slave may strike a deal, which is known as a mukatab, the mukatab, the one who strikes a deal with his owner to free him by paying him or giving him money to recompense for his own freedom. This is included in that, and also freeing war captives that are with the kuffar or with the oppressors. So if there are Muslims who are being held captives by the Jews or otherwise, then some money should be spent in order to free our Muslim brothers and sisters. نعم. وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة. And he established prayer and he paid the obligatory charity.
قد تقدم مرارا أن الله تعالى يقرن بين الصلاة والزكاة لكونهما أفضل العبادات وأكمل القربات عبادات قلبية وبدنية ومالية. Now the Sheikh said, we have mentioned often already that Allah always combines between establishing the prayer and paying the zakah. You see, they always come together. يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة إلى آخره. Why? Because they are among the best of acts of worship. And the Sheikh said the best of acts of worship are those that involve the heart and the body and or the limbs and your wealth. These are the best. And what is an example of that? Hajj. Hajj deals with the heart, deals with umrah, physical. You need to have strength, you need to endure and be patient, and money, you have to spend money. And this is why the reward of Hajj, that you will go back similar to the day your mother gave birth to you. يعني free from sins بإذنالله. وبهما يوزن الإيمان ويعرف ما مع صاحبه من الإيقان. الله أكبر. With these two, you can evaluate one's faith. With what? Salah and zakah. And zakah. If you see the brother, like this in the salah, forget about him. Umar ibn al-Abdul-Aziz radiallahu anhu rahimahullah used to say, if the salah time comes, then do not occupy yourself with anything. Because verily, if you are negligent about the salah, then you will be more negligent about everything else in the deen. If your salah is no good, then everything else is no good. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in more than one narration. The first thing that the slave will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is his salah. If it is sound, then all of his deeds will be sound. If it is corrupt, then all of his deeds will be corrupt. So the salah is important. And the salah is not simply standing and saying Allahu Akbar, Fatiha, Surah, Ruku'. Salah involves everything that involves the salah. Beginning from the wudu, to the niyyah, to the walking to the masjid, to the time you go to the masjid, to the place you are at the masjid, to which jama'ah you're praying in, how you conduct your salah, how much you follow the sunnah, until the taslim, until the adhkar. All this is included in the salah. So, and all of these should be met to the best of our ability in order for our iman to be sound. Salah and zakah. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. And those who fulfill the promises or the covenants if they ever give them. And the Prophet ﷺ said on the other hand, آيَةُ الْمُنَافِقُ ثَلَاثُ. The sign of the hypocrite are three. And he mentioned, إِذَا عَهَدَ أَخْلَفُ. If he gives a covenant, he betrays or he breaks. He's treacherous. He does not fulfill the عهود. والعهد هو الالتزام بإلزام الله أو إلزام العبد لنفسه. An عهد is that which you make incumbent upon yourself from Allah. Something Allah gave you as عهد, right? Or that which you give to yourself, that I will do this or I will not do that. فدخل بذلك حقوق الله كلها. Included in that are all of the rights of Allah. لكون الله ألزم بها عباده والتزموها. Because Allah has taken it as a covenant upon them and they accepted that. إن عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبينا أن يحملناها وحملها الإنسان. Allah says we have presented الأمانة, which is fulfilling the trust of everything, upon the heavens and the earth and the mountains. فأبينا أن يحملناها وأشفقنا منها. They refused to carry it and they were afraid of its responsibility. وحملها الإنسان. But the son of Adam carried it. We took that covenant, so we should fulfill it. ودخلوا تحت عهدتها وجب عليهم أداؤها. It's incumbent on them to fulfill these promises and to carry out these obligations. وحقوق العباد التي أوجبها الله عليهم. And the rights of the slaves which Allah had made compulsory upon us, such as being dutiful to your parents, keeping your kinship ties, and so on and so forth. التي أوجب الله عليهم والحقوق التي التزمها العبد كالأيمان والنذور ونحو ذلك. And
the covenants which the servant or the slave takes upon himself, such as the al-ayman wal-nudur. The nadhr is when you like a promise, you swear. So some people say, for example, another is you swear by Allah, if I pass this exam, I will fast for 1 month. طيب, this is called nadhr. So once you do pass, it becomes obligatory on you to fulfill that nadhr. You follow me? Unless it is something sinful, then you don't do it. If you promise that you will disobey Allah, then you don't fulfill the nadhr in this case. Otherwise, you fulfill an-nudur. طيب. وصابرين في البأساء, and those who are patient at the time of adversity. أي الفقر. The Sheikh said البأساء meaning poverty. لأن الفقير يحتاج إلى الصبر من وجوه كثيرة لكونه يحصل له من الآلام القلبية والبدنية المستمرة ما لا يحصل لغيره. The poor person needs patience in a number of ways due to the fact that he feels or he experiences all kinds of physical and heart aching pains, heartache because of poverty, that are consistent with them unlike others. فإن تنعم الأغنياء, جزاك الله خيرا, فإن تنعم الأغنياء بما لا يقدر عليه تألم, وإن جاع أو جاعت عياله تألم, عفوا, فإن تنعم الأغنياء بما لا يقدر عليه تألم, وإن جاع أو جاعت عياله تألم. So the poor person, when he sees the rich people enjoying the bounties that Allah gave them, he feels pain. You know, he sees them driving their lavish cars, and you know, they have their nice place and fancy everything, and he's just looking around, he does not have what they have. This causes pain in their hearts. Similarly, if he becomes hungry or his children become hungry, he feels pain. Again, وَإِنْ أَكَلَ طَعَامًا غَيْرُ مُوَافِقُ لِهَوَاهِ تَأَلَّمْ وَإِنْ عُرِي أَوْ عَرِي أَوْ كَادَ تَأَلَّمْ. And if he eats a food that does not match his taste, you know, you eat some old, you know, dry bread, and you're used to having some nice, soft, warm bread, he feels pain. If he becomes naked, or almost, he doesn't have enough clothes to wear, he feels pain. وَإِنْ نَظَرَ إِلَى مَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَمَا يَتَوَهَمُهُ مِنَ الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ الَّذِي يَسْتَعِدُّ لَهُ تَأَلَّمَ. And if he looks at that which he has right now, and what the future holds, in the future, he again feels pain. وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ الْبَرْدِ الَّذِي لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى دَفْعِهِ تَأَلَّمَ. And if he becomes cold, now you don't feel that in this country, you may feel hot in this country and you don't have an AC, and then you will feel the same pain. And in the case of the people that live in other countries, when it's cold and you don't have a blanket or some warm clothing to warm you, then again you will feel pain. فكل هذه ونحوها مصائب يؤمر بالصبر عليها والاحتساب. All these are calamities which the slave is expected and commanded to be patient during these times, and to seek Allah's reward. ورجاء الثواب من الله عليها. Seeking Allah's reward for your patience. Okay. والصابرا في البأساء والضراء. الضراء أي المرض على اختلاف أنواعه من حمى وقروح ورياح ووجع عضو حتى الضرس والإصبع ونحو ذلك. فإنه يحتاج إلى الصبر على ذلك. ضراء, the Sheikh said, are illnesses or diseases in their various forms, be it a fever or wounds, or maybe you have gas problems, or you have pain in some of your body parts, such as a molar tooth or a finger. All of that requires of you patience. لأن النفس تضعف والبدن يهلم وذلك بغاية المشقة على النفوس. Because the souls become weak and the body is in pain, and this is very difficult upon the people. خصوصا مع تطاول ذلك, especially if this continues, if it elongates. فإنه يؤمر بالصبر احتسابا لثواب الله تعالى. So he is commanded to be patient, seeking Allah's reward. وحين البأس أي وقت القتال للأعداء المأمور بقتالهم. Meaning at the time of fighting against the enemies whom you are supposed to fight. Not your Muslim brothers, You go put a bomb in a masjid, kill them, go to the Muslim lands, kill them, kill the Muslims, whether they are rulers or ruled. This is not from Islam. And this is not jihad. This is not jihad that Allah legislated, that you kill your own Muslim brother. Rather, this is one of the most major sins. And it may take you outside of Islam. Killing a Muslim innocently. Done by people in the name of Islam, and Allah knows that Islam is innocent from these behaviors. But we don't go to the other extreme. Huh? What's the other extreme? The Christian extreme. Well, not the biblical one, because the Bible supports jihad to the in the ultimate sense. The Christian one, I'll give you the other cheek. You slap me on my right cheek, I'll give you the left one. So people go to extreme and they deny something called armed struggle in Islam. Fighting in Islam, you cannot deny. Keep it real. It is part of the teachings of Islam, but it has rules and regulations that one must abide by in order for him to be fulfilling that right of Allah. So we don't go to either extremes by either becoming terrorists or denying jihad and saying Islam is peace only. Islam is not peace only. Okay, Islam is submission to Allah, which brings peace to your life. And peace may require that you defend the Muslim honor and that you spread the deen of Allah. That brings peace also. So be careful of these many organizations that speak on behalf of Islam and Muslims, you know, who claim things that are not correct. One of the organizations you need to be careful of is, these are known as ISNA and ICNA. These are all in the States. And Discover Islam. Discover Islam is this this institute or organization that have all these posters that you see often in the Dawah centers. It's called Discover Islam. These people are not upon the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I personally attended a workshop that they held here in Jeddah, where they were trying to, a da'wah workshop, and it was not a da'wah workshop. It was a calamity workshop, and a very, very unpleasant situation. So be careful of Discover Islam. Don't use them as means of propagating Islam, because they have many different issues that contradict clear teachings in Islam that don't have room for any difference of opinion. Okay? Hizb al-Tahrir, I don't know about the Ahzab then. All of the Ahzab, khalli walli. All of the groups and denominations in Islam don't belong to any of them. Whoever follows the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of the righteous predecessors, this is the manhaj, this is the methodology, this is the way that we will not compromise for no one. But to turn it into a sect, a sect in Islam with a particular name and a particular way of doing things and a particular manhaj, and changing and refuting and going against, this is not from the Sunnah. That's not what is intended as well. So be careful, because it begins with something good and it leads to calamities. So we are Muslims upon the manhaj of the Salaf. Okay? So you are a Salafi in a sense that you follow the manhaj of the Salaf. That's it. That's what Shaykh bin Uthaymeen said, rahimahullah. You have to be a Salafi. You have to be upon the way of the righteous predecessors, because these are the ones who understood the deen. But it does not mean that you turn Salafiyya into a group and you become a membership card holder and you use it from there to belittle other Muslims, tackle other Muslims, speak ill of other Muslims, and turn it into a show. A popularity show, as it happened with many of the brothers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended that they be tested. We ask Allah to return us and them to the right way. Some people went to extreme in their understanding and they turned it into a sect, and we fell into many problems because of that. That's what Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, the one who all the brothers who follow the manhaj of the Salaf respect, love and honor. If you read his statements and you listen to his tapes concerning that, he was very clear on his point that he does not agree with the naming issue. He did not agree, rahimahullah ta'ala. Some other scholars had allowed it, but we're sure from what we know of their righteousness and their love of the Sunnah, they were not aware that people will take that and go a long way with it, turn it into something else. It was misused, the word Salafiyya was misused until it became scary, right? Now if you tell someone Salafi, oh, some people panic, say, I need to run away. Why? This is the truth. You see, because it was contaminated by the actions of some people, so we stay on the middle course. بِإِذْنِ As the Prophet ﷺ advised Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, when he told them about the end of times, and he told them about the availability of the groups, what did he tell them? اِعْتَزِلْ هَذِهِ الْفِرَقِ كُلِّهَا Prophet ﷺ told them, abandon all of these groups. Don't be a Tablighi, don't be an Akhwani, don't be a Sururi, don't be a Qutbi, don't be nothing. Abandon all of these groups, even if you were to die while biting on a branch of a tree. Because you don't want to get mixed with the fitna of dividing the Ummah. It's not a joke to divide the Ummah. Not a joke. Many people do it in the name of Islam. Look at the Tablighi Jama'at. Look at them. After every dars in our local masjid, they don't sit. They leave. They leave. They don't like to listen. Because in their sick mind, we're not the same. They have their way, we have our way. That's dividing the ummah. Right or wrong? Had they listened and learned and followed the sunnah, it would have been better for them. So anyways, I'm going off the subject as it's my usual way. So you're used to me, inshallah. طيب. وحين البأس نعم at the time of fighting with the enemies that you are commanded to fight لأن الجلاد يشق غاية المشقة على النفس ويزجع الإنسان من القتل أو الجراح أو الأسر because fighting really scares the person it is very difficult and heavy upon the person because you're afraid of dying or being wounded or being held as a captive as a war captive فاحتاج إلى الصبر في ذلك احتسابا ورجاء لثواب الله تعالى. So you need patience, a lot of patience at that time, seeking Allah's reward, hoping in Allah and seeking the reward سبحانه وتعالى. الذي منه النصر والمعونة التي وعدها الصابرين. The one who that from him is aid and victory, which he has promised for the صابرين. أولئك أي المتصفون بما ذكر من العقائد الحسنة والأعمال التي هي من آثار الإيمان وبرهانه ونوره والأخلاق التي هي جمال الإنسان وحقيقة الإنسانية فأولئك الذين صدقوا. The Shaykh said, أولئك, those who are described with what was what mentioned earlier of good creed, good belief system, believe in Allah and the last day what we mentioned and the books and the prophets, and whose good deeds are a manifestation of their belief and the light and the good character by which the Son of Adam beautifies himself with your behavior, not only with your thawb, not only with your beard, not only with your kufi or whatever they call it, beautifying yourself with your behavior, the way you treat your Muslim brothers to the best of our ability with the shortcomings that we all have. It is those الذين صدقوا who are truthful. في إيمانهم لأن أعمالهم صدقت إيمانهم who are truthful in their iman because their deeds they proved they were a proof for their iman وأولئك هم المتقون it is those who are متقون pious لأنهم تركوا المحظور وفعلوا أمور because they left everything that was prohibited and they did everything that was commanded لأن هذه الأمور مشتملة على كل خصال الخير تضمنا ولزوما because these things that Allah mentioned encompass all forms of goodness. All forms of goodness. لأن الوفاء بالله يدخل فيه الدين كله. Because fulfilling the covenant includes everything in Islam. Everything in Islam is included in that. ولأن العبادات المنصوص عليها في هذه الآية أكبر العبادات. And because the acts of worship enumerated in this ayah are from the best and the greatest of the acts of worship. وَمَنْ قَامَ بِهَا كَانَ بِمَا سِوَاهَا أَقْوَمَ And whoever fulfills that, then he naturally will be fulfilling what is lesser than that in a more logical way. فَهَؤُلَاءِ هُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ الصَّادِقُونَ الْمُتَّقُونَ It is those who are righteous, who are truthful, and who are among the pious. And that will be enough, inshallah ta'ala. I believe we did the whole verse of 177. And inshallah ta'ala, we will be doing verse 178 next week, بإذن الله عز وجل. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.